Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Tonight we're going to talk about, this is going to be part two, drawing up what God has put in. Another phrase, well, we'll get into this. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. A very, very familiar scripture. But yet, let's look at it. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, not going to, who has..." This is key. That's why I'm going to really zero in on this. "Who has," past tense, "blessed us with every," say every.
Every.
When Apostle Paul talking here, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, when he says every, he means every. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Whereabouts? In Christ. There's the key. I want to talk about tonight, drawing up what God has placed in you. And according to this, listen, when God does something, He does it right. And He does it in abundance. He's not a God of a little dab here. He does it in excess. And it says every blessing in heavenly places are in Christ, which means you're a carrier of the blessing. Because guess what? As a born-again believer, you're in Christ.
Amen.
Now, I listened to, back in the day when I first started, Kenneth Hagin talked on this. And I think it was a cassette tape. And it's about growing up in Christ Jesus. And he talked about knowing all those verses about being in Him, in Christ, in whom. So I was listening to that tape. And I got to the point, I hate to say this, but I'm going to say it. I'm going to be honest with you. I said to myself, well, I heard that. I thank you, but I need to move on. So I pressed. I was in a car. I was like, it's yesterday, okay? I was in a car listening to Kenneth E. Hagin. He's talking about being in Christ, in Him. I thought, well, okay, I get it. But I pushed the forward button a couple times because he stayed on that subject for a while. And I kept pushing and pushing. And finally, he got away from it. I thought in my mind, since I heard it, Pastor Mark just talked about that tonight. Just because you heard it one time doesn't mean you got it. But I said to myself, this back when I was, before I met Joanne, that's back when I was wearing diapers. I said, I know this. I know it. I don't need to hear this. Big mistake. And it cost me. That's foundational. All those in Him. Don't ever think, don't take out lightly. That is top dog.
Right.
And I didn't get back to it until years later. So what are you trying to say, Pastor Jack? I'm saying it cost me. Don't trip up by you saying you heard that. No, you need to hear it more.
Right.
You need to hear it again and again and again. Because saints, Revelation, mental assent won't get the job done. It's that hearing and hearing and hearing. In order to draw up, so I'm trying to get to, in order to draw up what God's put in, you're going to have to know the Word. You're going to have to know what belongs to you in Christ Jesus. You may say, well, I know that. But do you really know it? Do you have a revelation of what God has actually put in you? He's put the whole kingdom in you. It's not a little dab of the kingdom. He said it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Think of that. Now, I'm thinking, okay, Chuck, how much of the kingdom are you walking in? How much of the kingdom have you really taken hold of? How much of it are you drawing up? So I haven't arrived yet. Well, no one has arrived. So we have. There's what I was trying to say is we have plenty of work to do. I'm talking about studying, meditating, allowing the Word to work, because it's just not automatic. If you're thinking that the blessing is going to just fall on you, first of all, the blessing is in you. It's not about falling on you. It's about you drawing up what He's put in. That is a major key. Now turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, 22. And I'm going to review a little bit from last time. And here it is, Philippians 2, verse 12. It says, Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. Notice that? Your own salvation. You don't need to be concerned about someone else. You have enough on your plate for yourself.
Right.
Your plate is enough, okay?
Right.
Your own salvation with fear and trembling. Or you could say with reverence. Evidently, it must be pretty important. He says work out. He's not talking about working for your salvation. He's talking about working out your own. It's your own personal salvation that He's put in you. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He's put it all in us, saints. It's up to you and I to take the initiative to do exactly what He says here. In order to work it out, you're going to have to know the Word. It's called the renewing of the mind. There's no way around it. Is there some other way? You mean I have to be in the Word constantly? Yes. If you want to take it seriously, if you're serious about God, if you're serious about receiving what He has done for you at Calvary through His death, burial, resurrection, it's all done. It's all finished. The finished work. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. It's a done work. It's up to us to draw up what He's put in us. And I'm talking about in your born-again spirit man. Not your flesh. I'm not talking about the flesh. I'm talking about your born-again spirit, where the Holy Spirit reigns, where the Holy Spirit is hovering and waiting for your words, waiting for you to speak. Waiting. And it's like, we're going to get to this. I'm getting all excited. At home I have to watch because I got a, my metabolism is, it's like it runs. And if I don't calm down a little bit, it's like I knock my head in the workbench, you know. That was a you problem. That was a me problem. But anyway, I love the Word of God and I know it works. Amen. So, God has put some things in you and we have to work them out. Now turn with me to John chapter 4. Let's get started. John chapter 4, the Gospel of John. And we have here John chapter 4. Jesus is at a well. He's tired. He's resting at the well. In verse 7, a woman in Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Verse 9, Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you ask that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." And Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who asks to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would ask him, and he would give you living waters." Verse 11, the woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well to drink for himself as well as his sons and his livestock?" And verse 13, Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again." And this is what I'm trying to get at. Because we're not talking about natural water. We're not talking about a natural well. Jesus is going to get into the spiritual part of this. He says, "Whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. And the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Saints, there is in your born-again spirit a well of living waters. Now we're talking about Zoe life, the actual life of God living on the inside of you. And Jesus calling it a well, springing up. Now, if you look into the Greek, it's not just a little trickle. That well that's springing up within you is a gusher. You know, we sing a song, you know, "Fill my cup, Lord, I lift." I like the song. It's good. But this is a gusher. I mean, trade your cup in for the well. This thing's gushing. But there are some things that's deep in the well that you're going to have to draw out. Now, why is it a deep well? Because God is, there's no end to His supply. So yes, it is a deep well. And as long as I don't care if you live to be 120, 130, you're not going to exhaust what's in the well. It's going to be gushing every day, 24/7. It's there. It's bubbling up. It's gushing up. Now, we are going to have to be able to tap in on that Zoe life or the spirit of life that's inside that well. It's living waters. It's the wells of salvation. I say it's the wells of salvation. What's salvation? It's healing. What is salvation? It's deliverance. What is it? It's prosperity. It's all in the well. It's the wells of salvation. Well, I wish God would do something. He did do it. It's in you. Now, He's not going to do your job. He put it in you. Now, with fear and trembling, we are to draw out what He's put in. It's not automatic. Joanne, would you just, I'll just get my lazy boy, relax, and I'll let you do all the work. Well, she can do as much as she can for me, but sooner or later, I'm going to have to take charge of my own salvation and work out my salvation. We went to the hospital, it's been years ago, and this guy was sick. And I noticed when I was talking to the lady, she was doing all the talking for the husband. Well, that's I think Joanne does that to me a lot. I don't know why a guy does that. Anyway, he was once sick, but she was doing all the talking. She said she was going on about what they're doing, and they're playing tapes 24/7, and she's reading the word to him. And I mean, all these things were really good. But yet I said, and I pointed to him, he's going to have to speak. He's going to have to talk. He's going to have to say what the word says. What you're doing is fine, but sooner or later, his faith is going to move his mouth. If your faith's not moving your mouth, guess what? You're not there yet. The very first sign of faith is your mouth moving. If your mouth is not moving, check up. Get into the scripture. You're not there yet. Faith talks. It believes. It talks. So turn with me to Proverbs chapter 20. Verse 5. Are you there?
Yeah.
Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. But a man of understanding will draw it out. So the word counsel means plans and purposes. They're in you. I'm talking about as in a born-again believer. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. But a man of understanding will do what? Draw it up. And the actual Greek, it says up. My King James or New King James says out. It doesn't really matter, but I kind of like that word up. So, counsel, and we know that we have the counselor who is in us, the Holy Spirit. So, when we start tapping in on the counselor and what he's doing, what he put in, let me back this up. As you speak the word. If you're not speaking the word, for instance, I need healing from my body. I'm going to say something. I'm going to acknowledge something. I just can't go around in my thinking, well, I guess God's going to do something. I want to move my mouth and start drawing.
Right.
He put the healing virtue, the Holy Spirit in you. It's up to you to draw up the Holy Spirit. A man of understanding will start to speak. We're going to get a little deeper in this about acknowledging. You have to speak. Turn with me. I think it's Romans 8, 11. I should know it because I think about this all the time. Romans 8, 11. Hold your spot there. We'll go back to that. Romans 8, 11. It says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who what? Dwells in you. So let's back it up. I'll read that last part again. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. There's a quickening power of the Holy Spirit. When you, for instance, let's just pick one. By His stripes you were healed. You say, well, yeah, I know that. But yeah, if you get revelation of that, that's more than enough to get you healed.
That's right.
It's more than enough.
Right.
So when I say that, when I release my faith, now I'm talking about if it's prosperity, you talk prosperity. You find the scriptures and you release that. The Holy Spirit is waiting for you to speak words of faith. Without words of faith, He's not moving. He has to have your word. He has to hear you speak, coming from your lips. It has to come from you. There's no other way. The Spirit in you is hovering. The Spirit, just like it was in Genesis, He hovered the whole earth, waiting. He's waiting for words of faith to be released. You're the one in charge. Don't wait for God. I'm just waiting for God to do something for me. No, you do something. Don't wait on Him. Take the initiative. If it's prosperity, whatever you're believing God for, land, house, whatever it is, you find the scriptures on that, you get a revelation of that, and you start speaking it. You don't wait on anybody. The greater one's in you, and He's waiting. He's waiting for your voice. So when something's trying to get on me, I think of this, the quickening power of the Holy Spirit. And as I give voice to His Word, the Holy Spirit begins to work in me. There is no shortage of power here. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. Yes, I know it's probably there be a quickening of our bodies, you know, the rapture, the trump sounds, our bodies be changed. I know that's probably the biggest part on that scripture, the quickening power of the Holy Spirit, changing our mortal bodies into our glorified bodies. But there's more than enough power to take care of us now. Because He said, if you look a little closer, look at this. He says in verse, He says also that He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life. That's Zoe life. That's just not any life. That's Zoe life. That's the life of God. That's living waters. It says, He'll give life to your mortal bodies. That's us here. That's how I look at it. If it ain't healing, I don't know what is. So when I speak the Word of God, and I'm talking about in faith, I have an expectancy. As soon as I release those words, I expect things to go, to happen. Have you ever felt the Holy Spirit flutter? Have you ever, I mean, I'm not going to sound nutty, but and I'm not saying we don't go by feelings. We don't go by the natural, but man, you can sense the Holy Spirit, that tangible anointing on the inside of you. Well, He's just not there just to give you a tingle. He wants to do something for you. You're joint heirs. You're heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. You're in Christ. The hope of glory, He's in you. Yeah. He wants to do more than just, as Kenneth Hagin used to say, He's not there just to hitchhike until you get to heaven. He wants to help you. He's the helper. He's the comforter. He's the counselor. There's plans and purposes that are in you that He wants to bring to the surface. Now, a man of understanding will bring these things up. In one way, and I'm not going to have time today, but one of the major ways we seek counsel. He is the Holy Spirit is the counselor. He is the counsel of all things. And He is constantly giving us counsel, plans and purposes. But see, He only gives them in steps. Jeremy, He don't give you the whole thing. It's as you walk. He gives you a plan. He gives you a step. You take this step. and so on. He's the counselor of the council. Yes, we can seek other people for counsel. Just make sure you go to godly people. Proverbs talks about that too. But make sure you go to the right people or you just get someone's opinion. Yes, there's safety in counsel. But be careful who you go to. You never miss it when you go to the Holy Spirit. He's on it. And He's waiting for you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to show you things. He wants to show more to you than you do. He's on the edge of His seat, if I could say that, waiting for you to start praying in the Spirit. Kenneth Hagin used to talk about praying out those mysteries. There's mysteries in you. There's stuff in you that needs to come out. That's the whole idea. That's how Paul got revelation that no one else tapped in on. He got it because he spent time, and I'm just assuming, I think most scholars believe this, he spent time praying in the Spirit, praying out of the deep waters, those plans and purposes that's hidden for you. He's not hiding them from you. He's hiding them for you to discover. It's kind of like, Savelle? Adventures in Faith. Is that the Victory telecast? That half hour, the name of it? I can't remember. But anyway, Jerry Savelle talks about Adventures in Faith. Well, it is an adventure. When you walk in faith, God's always showing you new things, new discoveries, things you've never seen before. But as you get into the Word, see, when I talk about deep waters, that involves the Word. Because you really, the Spirit and the Word are one. They agree. The written Word is the Holy Spirit. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. Written by man. Man wrote it down, but it's given by the Holy Spirit. This is 90% of your guidance right here. 95%. I don't, maybe. But there's that 5%. You're going to have to dig in. There's that 5%. Whatever. You're going to spend some time in His presence. I'm talking about praying in the Spirit. I don't have a whole lot. I said that last time. I don't have a whole lot of time talking about praying in the Spirit, but it's there. You're going to have to spend some time praying in the Spirit. Even if it's 5 minutes, do it. If it's 10 minutes, do it. There are some things God wants to bring up in you. Bring it to the surface. Plans, purposes. Doesn't that sound exciting? It's not boring. Living for God is not boring. Praying in the Spirit is not boring. Now, I have to admit, I have fallen asleep before. It has happened. But if I have to, I'll just start walking. Body, you're not falling asleep. Wake up. Arise and shine. God, we have such a loving God. He wants you to know. But the problem, and I'm talking to the choir here, obviously, but I'm just saying, we can't be lazy about this. Remember, fear and trembling. We work out what He's put in. Plans, purposes, all these things need to be brought up, need to be worked out, prayed up. We cannot be like the elder son. Remember the prodigal son? Well, turn with me to Romans, not Romans. Luke 15. We don't want to be like the elder. The elder son got all bent out of shape. Luke 15, let's start with verse 25. Now, the prodigal son, the younger son has come back, he's repented, and the father has accepted him back, and now they're having a party. They've killed the fatted calf. The young lad has got the robe and the ring and the sandals. So they're having a party. So verse 25 says, now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard the music and the dancing. So he called to one of the servants and asked, what's going on, or what does these things mean? Man, in verse 27, he said to him, your brother has come, and because he, the father, has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. Verse 28, but the elder son was angry, it would not go in. Therefore, the father came out and pleaded with him. Now notice, where's the elder son? He's out in the field. What's he doing? He's working. Right? I mean, he stayed home. He's working for the father. So verse 28 says he's angry. He won't go in. Therefore, the father came out to and pleaded with him. Verse 29. So he answered and said to his father, look, these many years I have been serving you, and I have never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I may make merry with my friends. Huh. You see that? He's angry because of the younger son getting all this stuff, and he's serving the father out in the field, and yet he's complaining to the father that he's never received anything, not even a goat. Now listen to the father's reply. Actually, let's go to verse 30. But as soon as his son of yours come, let me finish this up. I'm skipping around. Verse 30, let's start over. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has wasted all your livelihood with harlots, you killed a fatted calf for him. And now this is the father's response. Son, verse 31, this is what I'm trying to get at. Son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours. This is just like our Heavenly Father. All that I have is yours. Look, he called him son. You're with me always. All that I have is yours. So in other words, what he's saying, he says, son, if you want a robe, go get one. Amen. There's no need to be mad about this. There's no need to be bent out of shape. You're with me all the time. Go get your robe. Go get your sandals. I got a whole closet full of sandals, a closet over here with robes, a whole chest or drawer of rings. It's all, just go get it. Help yourself. Other words, don't wait on me. It's all yours. But here's the thing. Why didn't he do it? He's in the field working, but not drawing. He's working, but he's not drawing. Don't let that happen to you. He's given you every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Go get it. Don't wait. There's no need to be bent out of shape. Well, it's not happening. I just don't understand why this is not happening. I just don't understand it. Well, God understands it. God's not the one with the issue. The Bible says, I think it's Psalms 84:11, God, he's not withholding. God does not withhold no good thing to those who walk upright. The son's in the field working. He's with the father all the time. But for some reason, he doesn't have the heart of the Father because he should have been rejoicing. But the point I'm trying to make is, it's all there. It's all there. Just go get it. Saints, God has already done it through Jesus Christ. Go get it. Draw up what you need. Healing, prosperity, it's all there. It's nothing. God doesn't have to come down and do something new for you. If he just do something for me, if he just do something, if he'll move somehow. Well, the only one that should be moving out of the Godhead is the Holy Spirit. He's the one that brings things into manifestation. But spiritually speaking, it's already in you. So when you're believing God, you're drawing. In other words, you've got the word on it. Come on, it takes. Come on. The Bible talks about Galatians chapter 5. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, there's two parts to that. We all turn to that. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. I'm kind of jumping around, but I'm just kind of going with the flow. Galatians chapter 5. It takes a renewing of the mind to draw. You're going to have to renew the mind. Actually, let's go to verse 16. Galatians 5:16, it says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay, now go to verse 25. It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So verse 25, so twice he says walk in the Spirit, but verse 25 really, really hits home when I read that. He says two things. He says, if we live in the Spirit. Well, if you're born again, guess what? You're in the Spirit. You're hidden in Christ. So the work's done. It's in you. Salvation is in you. The wells of salvation are in you. So if we live in the Spirit, that's the born-again Spirit, we don't want to stop. We want to keep going. If you don't keep going, you're not going to be walking in the Spirit. Paul says, let us. Now, is that interesting? He includes himself. Let us also walk in the Spirit. Now we got two things. We got one is a fixed position in the Spirit. You're in Christ Jesus. This is not a thing you did. The only thing you did was believe on Him. You called upon the name of the Lord and He saved you. He saved you. He found you. He saved you. You just called upon the name of the Lord, confessed Him as Lord. Now the work begins. It's called a renewing of the mind. He says, let us also walk in the Spirit. So walking in the Spirit is two things. It's the renewing of the mind and yielding to the Spirit. Or else it's not happening. So in order to walk in what we have, in order to walk in what we have in Christ Jesus, we're going to have to renew the mind and yield to the Spirit. That's twofold. As Kenneth Hagin used to say, I've heard him say a number of times, the biggest need for the body of Christ is the renewing of the mind. To know what belongs to you, what you have in Christ, what you can do in Christ. The Bible says you can do all things in Him, in Christ, which strengthens you. He's the strengthener. He's on the inside of you. But in order to draw that strength, you're going to have to know what the Word says. Now, I'm getting sidetracked. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 20 again. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5. Again, let me read this again. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding. I want you to grab hold of this. A man of understanding will draw it out. So it's not coming. You have to remember this. It's not coming from the outside. You, a man of understanding, it's not coming through the senses. It's not coming from out there. It's coming from here, the Word. Now turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Just go back about 6 or 7 chapters. Chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, let's just stop right there before I go into the main part. In order to trust, again, here again, I'm talking about renewing of the mind, but when it says trust in the Lord, you're not going to be able to trust in the Lord. You're not going to be able to trust Him without the Word. You're going to have to know what the Word says. You just can't say, well, I trust you. You got to know what the Word says. So when it says trust in the Lord with all your heart, you're going to have to go back to verse 1, chapter 3. Verses 1 through 4. You're going to have to know those verses before you get to verse, if you want verse 5 to work for you. Verse 1, it says, my son, do not forget my law. Or in other words, you could say word. So if it's telling me that I could forget it, then it's possible, right? It kind of reminds you of Psalm 103. It's possible. You don't want to forget His benefits. You're going to purposely keep the Word, renewing the Word on a constant basis. My son, do not forget my law, my Word, but let your heart keep my commands for length of days and long life, and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so, look at the benefits here. And so, favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Now we get into the trust. Why? Because you put in the Word first. You give them the Word its place. If we don't value the Word, saints, you're not gonna have success. You just won't. You honor the greater one. He's in the vessel. You're the vessel of clay. Treasure in earthen vessels, Paul said. The greater one's in there. And we got to honor Him and put a high priority on His Word. So verse 5 says, trust the Lord with all your heart. And this is what I'm trying to get to. And lean not unto your own understanding. Remember, a man of understanding will draw up. So what is a man of understanding? A man of understanding is not leaning on the senses. A man of understanding is not leaning on his own understanding. In other words, your natural understanding. We're talking about when you start relying on you and your senses, what you feel, what you smell, taste, all those senses, they're good. I mean, they're God-given, but they're not to lead you spiritually. They have their place. But spiritually speaking, you don't lean into your own understanding. You got to lean into the understanding of what God says. The spirit man. In other words, you're governed from the inside. You're not governed from an outside source. Our source is from the greater one. Our source is from the Word of God. That's what governs us. That is how a man of understanding draws from the wells, is the Word of God. It goes on to say, verse 6, and in all your ways, now underline this, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Now, this is something else. I think we'll probably close with this, or close to it. Notice this says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Now, with that word, acknowledge, turn with me to Philemon. That little bitty book. Philemon, if I can even find it, right before Hebrews. Philemon, verse 6. Well, it says, I'll just read it. I'm reading out of the King James. I really like the King James on this. Philemon 6, you there? That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Let's back this up. Let's break this down. It says that the communication, that word communication means release. It means speaking forth. Here we go again, speaking words. What does faith do? Faith talks. Speaking words is your main vehicle for releasing faith. It's your communication. It says the communication, the release or speaking forth of words of your faith may become effectual. Or another word for effectual would be active. Other words, to have your faith active, you're going to have to speak forth. And it goes on to say, by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So if you've got your Bible, you might as well take note of this. Acknowledging. You acknowledge everything that God's put in you, from the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, everything that is good in you. You're supposed to acknowledge that. Speak it out. What has He put in? He's put all the spiritual blessings in you. Acknowledge that. Acknowledge the work of the Holy Spirit. Acknowledge His words working in you mightily. Start acknowledging. Don't be silent. Don't go into default. If you're not saying anything, nothing's happening. Start acknowledging what God has done. One of the greatest things that you can, if you think about it, He has put the wells of salvation. Those wells, those living waters, acknowledge that. You have living waters on the inside of you. The life of God inside of you. You ought to be talking about it. Speaking to yourself. Meditating on that. Those wells are for your benefit. They're personal. There's rivers in you. But the well, which I'm focusing on, is personal for you. Kenneth Hagin used to talk a lot about this. This is why I got ministers in trouble. You cannot depend on the gifts of the Spirit for your personal life. You're going to have to believe God just like everyone else. That's what Kenneth Hagin said. Kenneth Hagin used to say, well, I'm going to be here. Your ministry would be here and gone, but I'll still be here. Because I operate, my ministry is based on faith in the Word of God. In other words, the Word always works 24/7. It's personal. You could draw on it. When you learn to draw on one thing, you learn to draw on healing, and it works like that for everything else. Prosperity, healing, deliverance, it all works the same way. You speak. You believe, therefore you speak. You're drawing. Hallelujah. Let's close. Let's cut this short. Let's go with me to Isaiah chapter 12. Amen. Hallelujah. Isaiah 12, verse 3, it says, therefore, it says therefore, right? So we need to go therefore. Verse 2, Isaiah 12, verse 2, behold, God, listen to this, this is just something. Behold, God is my salvation. What's he doing? He's acknowledging. By a confession. Is that what we're just talking about? Acknowledging every good thing in you in Christ Jesus. What's he doing? He's acknowledging. Look how personal he's making it. God, behold, God is my salvation. What's salvation? Healing. God is my healer. God is my deliverer. He is my salvation. It's in you. Now he's making an acknowledgement of that. A confession. What is a confession? It's saying the same thing. What does God say about you? He goes on to say, I will trust and not be afraid. Notice this. How personal it is. I will trust and not be afraid. Let me read this out of King James. I think I got this. It says, behold, this is King James, verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah, get this, is my strength, my song. Look how personal this is. He goes on to say, it has also become my salvation. Therefore, verse 3, he's establishing something. What's he establishing? He's acknowledging. He's confessing what God has done. He is my salvation. Now look at verse 3. Therefore, based on that confession, based on that acknowledgement, listen, God is my, with joy shall you draw water. Which you could say, with joy you shall draw living waters out of the wells of what? Salvation. Notice plural, wells. Wells of salvation, deliverance, health, healing, prosperity. Right. Where's it all at? It's in the wells. Yeah, right. Who's going to draw it out? You. You mean I got to do all that? You get to. It's you. See, now it's a you problem, not a God problem. If you don't have, if you have lack, I'm not saying I have arrived. There's things I'm working on. And I may not have manifestation yet. But spiritually speaking, it's done. Now, I know the Holy Spirit's working on it. Manifestation. That's why I have joy, because I believe that I received. Now, it may not, is not, I don't see it yet, but the eyes of faith see it. I said, faith sees it. I see it on the inside. It hasn't manifested yet. So I keep my words going forward on my behalf. I keep saying what God said. I keep acknowledging what he's already put in me. Manifestation is coming. That's why there's joy, because you've got an expectancy. Now, if you don't have joy, you're not there. Joy should be, you should have joy. You should be expecting manifestation. If you're not expecting manifestation, you're not there yet. Say, you might as well just know it right now. You're not there yet. You should have an expectancy. If you're not there, just go back to the Word. Get on the Word. Meditate in the Scriptures until you see it. Until you see it. Manifestation is coming. That water is going to turn into wine. It says, with joy you will draw from water from the wells of salvation. Hallelujah. And the thing of it is, saints, listen, I'll be honest with you. Listen, you can draw every day from your own vessel. You can draw 24/7 daily. I read a lot on E.W. Kenyon. I read a lot of his books. E.W. Kenyon. He says some pretty strong things. He says some things that I was reading just not too long ago, and I thought, well, that's not nice. I had to sort of close the book. He said some things that were truth. And the guy knew. He had revelation. I'll say part of it. He said this. I'm not going to say all of it. When you read his books, you got to have your big boy pants on. He said many of God's people are faith seekers. When I read that, what are you talking about? Many of God's people are faith seekers. And I almost got offended just by reading that part of it. But he said they're always looking for someone else to pray for them, to do their work. Are you hearing me? Now, I'm saying that real nice. He goes in real heavy. Well, I just paraphrased that really nice. If you heard what he said, you'd probably close the book and not read the book. But you can drink from your vessel. You don't need to seek another vessel. You got the wells in you. You can draw from the wells every single day. Now, yes, yeah, you know, and the Bible talks about the fivefold ministry. You know, Ephesians chapter 4, he gave gifts unto man. Yeah, we should be drawing from the fivefold ministry. I draw from Pastor Mark. He's pastor, prophet, teacher. I draw from him all the time. You should draw from your pastor. You know, we should, you know, it's about honor and respect for the vessel. Remember Jesus said Jesus could do no mighty work in his hometown? Why? Because they didn't like the vessel. They were familiar with the vessel. I knew the vessel. I know that vessel. I grew up with that guy. He was weird then. He's weird now. I know his mom and dad. See, they didn't respect the vessel. They should have been drawing from the vessel, but they didn't have the honor. They didn't honor the vessel. They didn't respect the vessel. What happened? They stayed the same. I honor Pastor Mark. I honor the vessel. I don't know how many times he's preached the Word on a Wednesday night. And on a Friday, I'll need that Word. Or on a Thursday. The Holy Spirit will prompt word by word what He said. And it's the exact word that I need for that day. Now what if I would have missed? I'm just saying we need to respect the vessel, Pastor Mark. But anyway, I'm closing. That's all. Please stand up. I got to close. Got to quit. So you can draw from the wells of salvation every day, but it's just got to be, you got to draw it. You got to know what the Word says. You got to know what God's put in you. Amen. And then once you know what God's put in you and you speak words of faith, yeah, there's going to be some joy because you got some expectancy. You're expecting manifestation. Now, Father God, we thank you for your Word tonight. I thank you, Father. There are wells of water within each and every one of us. Wells of living waters. the God kind of life, that abundant life, Father, you put in each and every one of us. And I pray, Father, that the revelation of drawing up what you put in may be enlightened in the saints, that they'll know that's their responsibility to draw up what you put in and to draw up and to release that. And to know, Father God, that the counselor that's in us will help us. The counselor will give us counsel, Father. And I thank you for that. The Holy Spirit's always there to help us. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father. We have a great expectancy in the days ahead. We expect great things. We have the joy of the Lord coming up within us. Joy of the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. And Father, as we go, Father, we thank you for Psalms 91. We thank you, Father. We're blessed coming in, blessed going out. And we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.